right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. And for a lot of us, we are looking forward to heading into the fall feast. There are a few calendars that people keep that it's already happened. But for most of us, at least, the time is coming real soon now. So I guess along with that, I'll say the other thing that seems to be coming is a lot of you-know-what coming to a head. We have so many things on so many fronts, economically, politically, physically, the war front, the treason front, all basically almost simultaneously reaching a climax. So that means there's a lot to talk about. And let me say this, because thankfully and for the first time in a little while, we're anxious to be able to welcome back an old friend, and that would be Daniel Holdings, who has agreed to come on and share some things with us this morning, too. So we have a three-way to talk about today. So let me introduce him and say good morning, Daniel, first. Then we'll go to David. How you doing?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you so much for the invite, and it's always good to be with you, Hebrew Nation. It is good to be back with you and chit-chat. Mark, you're right. There is tons of stuff going on today.
And it's almost, there's almost so much it's tough to know where to start. Let me toss out a couple things and we'll say good morning to David. But, certainly one of the things we've continued to talk about, I know we talked about it probably last time you were on, and that's been weeks at this point. A continued escalation of a World War III that's already in progress. The big news, I would think, but there's been several of them over the last couple of days, is that the UK Sky News has confirmed that it was in fact British supplied long range missiles used overnight September 12 to 13 that destroyed a Russian submarine, or at least damaged in warship at Sevastopol, and they were British Storm Shadow cruise missiles. So essentially, what everyone is saying, even the Brits, this is an act of war where the Brits are, without question, for the first time directly involved and subject to retaliation, and there's a lot of call for retaliation in Russia. So if we haven't seen it yet, this may be one of the triggers that kicks it off. With that, let me go to David and say good morning to you, too, and we've got lots of stuff, David, to kick around today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. There's no doubt that we're moving toward war. We're in the war, as you referenced earlier. It's just a matter of how we get there and how ultimately we fight this war. And I'm always on the side of the mental. We stay inside the mental warfare, and that's where we can defeat them there without having to suffer worldwide consequences. But, of course, that's yet to be determined. Hey, good morning, guys. Let's get on this thing.
Daniel, you got anything that's at the top of your list that you want to make sure we talk about first off? There's a couple questions I have later on, if you don't talk about them first, that I wanted to ask you. But what's at the top of your hit parade, since we haven't heard from you in a while?
Well, you know, we've been talking about World War III for, I don't know, months and months and months, and I would have thought it would have already happened, but it certainly seems like we are quickly approaching that place of no returning. Just last night, and I pulled this article up as you were talking, there's a, and I can't even say this name, but I'm going to give it a shot. Yevpatoria, the base in Yevpatoria in Russian occupied Crimea. It is the base where they actually manufacture the S-400, air defense system. And they blew it to smithereens last night, with, I believe, British storm, chaser missiles. So if there was ever a time when they keep poking the bear and wanting to instigate a war, it is certainly now. But it's not just that. If you recall, NATO and the U.S. were all of a sudden, they had snap exercises. Now, for, you know, a vet and somebody that's been in the military, when you hear that phrase snap exercise, it means suddenly. It means like all of a sudden, get your gear together and let's go. We're going to have an exercise. Well, they called a snap exercise last week on the border of the I want to say it's the Duab or Druab River in Romania. The thing is, right across the river is the Ukraine, and it actually comes to kind of a point there, and it's not far from Russia as well. So the you know, NATO troops show up and they're having this exercise, and the Russians start blowing to smithereens the ports on the other side of the river in Odessa and the other cities there, as if to say, okay, you want to play, let's play. and they can't cross the river because they see what's going on. And just this morning, it's been reported that there were some drones that actually went over onto the Romanian side. One report was that it was 10 miles on the Romanian side and blew up. Now, Mark, I don't have to tell you that the Article 5 of the NATO treaty is just sitting there waiting to be implemented, and they are looking for any excuse to implement it. And it seems, to David's point, that we are just inching our way to World War III. And I wish it was only mentally. I wish it was only you know, even digitally. But it seems to me that we are going to have a shooting war sooner rather than later. And you mentioned at the beginning that it was, you know, we're approaching the fall feast. There are a lot of people say that it's the end of the Jubilee year, and we are we didn't repent, and therefore we are going to be judged. And it certainly seems like we are entering that season. There's a reason why we've been practicing going into the wilderness all these years. We may need to go there for sure. Anyway,
well,
there you have it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the key to understand. There are so many things that just seem to be, again, coming to a head. Excuse me. And I've got one more story here that, you know, as I look at this, and I contend that World War III is already in progress. You know, historians, if there are any historians after a few years go by, looking back, always try to date it, right? I think when the Archduke Ferdinand was killed quite a while ago, there were probably a lot of people in the world going, well, that looks serious, but hey, you know, nothing's shooting war going on yet. And yet, that's when historians date it from. Will it be the invasion? Will it be the moving of various kinds of military bases and equipment and artillery and so forth into Ukraine? Lots of places where people might say the war started from. Certainly at the point where, as you mentioned, Article 5 is triggered, there's another date certain. But I think we've got this one now that the United Kingdom essentially has provided missiles that without question and openly have been admitted to have been used in an attack, an aggression against Russian territory. They are certainly calling for it. So, you know, the question is, what form, if there is a tit for tat, would it take? For example, there was an attack, like you mentioned, it sounds like on the S-400 construction manufacturing facility. Does Russia decide, all right, wherever the Storm Shadow missiles are made in Britain, we're going to take that out? Would they escalate to tactical nukes? There are lots of ways this could proceed. And then, of course, the question is, wait a minute, if we're going to use tactical nukes, most people won't understand the difference. The same thing goes for hyperbaric fuel air type explosions that look like a nuke to the uninitiated, except there's no radiation, but they can certainly be in the mini kiloton range or bigger. So lots of ways this could escalate, and ultimately then the question is, well, why don't they just go for broke and say, we'll pull the trigger? And I think, at least to some extent, that seems to be what the Biden Fuhrer and the idiots, and that's the term I use, pulling the strings there of the puppet in the White House, are hoping for. They're literally, they keep poking the bear and pushing for this. So eventually you think they're probably going to get it, but what we may find out as this weekend looks like an important milestone. Go ahead, David.
Well, I don't know what to say in this context. The war, yes, we're in it, and the only way out of it without physical destruction is to be smarter than these criminals that are running the American government and the globalists that have an agenda, to the megalomaniacs that have an agenda to take over the world, and by using deception and creating this multinational illusion to prompt a physical war so they can cover their tracks because of all the crimes they've committed over the past century. And but so we got to keep our eye on the ball as to who we're actually fighting and what's actually going on in the world. And it's so easy to lose track of that when this war game, this constant war game, is going on. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the other things that are high on the list this week. Obviously, one of the, let me talk about the smoke. Let's get the smoke cleared first, I guess. We had, at long last, a clash on the floor of the House with the man pretending to be Speaker of the House that finally managed to get in over the objections of everybody who's been watching his career is in there now. And he said, maybe we'll have an investigation. Now that the evidence is so incontrovertible that this guy was on the take for years, and I'm talking about Hunter Biden, the duo, and the bribe-taking team with the big guy at the head, all the way back while he was VP, and you know, a position that he may have even been elected to. So that now it is, you know, belatedly the House comes out and says, yeah, we'll have an investigation. It's not like we haven't got thousands of pages of evidence saying this is beyond anything that anybody has ever even been accused of, even though there may have been crimes of this magnitude committed in the White House before. They've never been in your face exposed like this. And so we have. Now that the crimes are exposed, yeah, let's see if we have an inquiry. What a crock. Matt Gaetz had a major firefight, I guess you'd say, with the speaker, and McCarthy came out and said, yeah, you know, do your effing worse or something like that, using potty mouth language on the House floor, it would seem. Anyway, go ahead, Daniel.
Well, you know, I think – looking at politics today, I'm reminded, you know, when are they lying? Well, when they're moving their lips. But, you know, you just touched on something, potty mouth language on the House floor. I mean, there was a time when people, in government were at least civil. I mean, they were always lying, but they were at least civil. They
exactly.
Were professional. And what we have is leaders that have, and I use that term loosely, leaders, that have, you know, degenerated into this ugliness and unprofessionalism. And before I go any further, I think she's a congressman from Colorado. What's her name? Breitbart or something.
Lauren Boebert. She's the Congress critter from
it?
The 3rd District in Colorado.
Boebert.
Yep.
That's right. To give you an idea of the kind of people that are running the government, she got elected, I don't know, last year on
second term, re-elected.
Yeah, so she, you know, she was a MAGA Republican and you know, lots. But she got tossed out of a play out of in Denver, I think it was, last night for – she was vaping in the middle of the play, and the ushers came out and they said, no, you can't. And bless, she was actually causing other issues. So they tossed her out and she denied that she was vaping, and she also denied the accusations of, you know, cussing at and so as it turns out, there's something called CCTV, and it showed that she was in fact vaping and disrupting the, and then when she was kicked out, she was actually, she actually flipped off the usher. And she denied all of it. But my point is, and people are people, I mean, I'm not pointing the finger, but it's just, this is what the government has been reduced to. So you have the head guy, and again, I use that term loosely, the head guy in the Oval Office, and his son has just been indicted on gun charges report just came out this morning. But it's like, okay, you are charging him with gun charges that could hold a maximum penalty of 10 years. But what about all the other treason that he's committed?
Exactly. So, go ahead. Finish up. That's where I was going to head, Daniel. So you're there.
But then, you know, if in fact the son goes up, gets a slap on the wrist for gun charges, takes a felony, and there are no charges brought against his father in the Oval Office for high treason, They, you know what, even a 10-year, and I doubt if it would be even that, even a 10-year felony charge would be a skate in the park for, it'd be a pass for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden.
Okay. And
so it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just,
a couple of things on that score. You know, first, with respect to Lauren Boebert, I'll admit I've never met the woman. I like her. I tend to think she has a lot more in the way of cojones than most of the House members. I saw the original story, the Denver Post story, was Sunday night, and there is not any video, as far as I know, of what she was supposedly doing. Although I did see lots and lots of video. Everybody had it up of her being escorted out. And essentially, you know, leaving the theater and so forth. She did, as far as I know, she didn't deny, that she had taken a photo, and she came out and said that and so forth. So I look at this and I tend to think, there's probably more than a little bit of somebody trying to set her up and say, we want to kick her out and make a big scene. So I'm always sensitive to that. Is it possible she was, put upon and got under, sure. So the bottom line is, I don't know what's going on there. I have not seen anything more from her on that specifically, and I kind of wait to until we do. However, then you went to the Hunter Biden thing, and that one doesn't surprise me in the least, because honestly, if I had to pick, and we probably even talked about this a while back, and I'd say, okay, here's a guy that's committed treason. Here's a guy that's on the take, committed bribery. He openly is, you know, a cokehead whoremonger. He's probably been engaged in child sex trafficking, or at least sex trafficking of a minor and similar things. What are they going to get him on? Well, see, here's the narrative that I can see playing out, Daniel, and that is, oh, look, you know, it's okay to commit treason. It's okay to commit bribery. But you know what? Any slave that violates the almighty ATF and the prohibition against guns, now that is a bridge too far. We can't have that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them say, okay, Hunter skates on everything that's a real crime, but oh no, when it comes to guns, you see, we're going to throw him in jail. And guess what that means for you peons, folks? You out there that have a firearm and that we don't want to have one. So I'm not the least bit surprised to see that if there's anything that they go after him for, it's, get this, here's count one of the indictment. With the purchase of a Colt Cobra 38 special revolver, Hunter Biden knowingly made a false statement. Oh, see, he made a false statement on the illegal, unconstitutional, anti-Second Amendment form, and that is verboten. Anyway, let me turn it back to you, and then we'll go to David. Go ahead.
I think you're exaggerating, Mark. That's the only time Hunter Biden has ever made a false statement. That's the only time. So, I mean, I think
it matters. The rest is trivial. See, you can lie anywhere else. But if you lie to the ATF, you know, now you're in real trouble. Go ahead, David.
I don't have anything to add to that. We're being distracted. The war is a war of distraction and preoccupation. So long as we go down this road, we're not really over the target. So let's keep going. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, that's a great point, and that is, I think, the reason why it's important to note, because this is a distraction, and it is, in fact, an attempt to say that, you know, even the belated impeachment isn't a really big deal here. So what is the other big deal? Well, here are a couple stories. One of them, the White House sent a letter, it turns out, to CNN, the New York Times, and other top outlets. In other words, they're public-private partners. On the very same day that the McCarthy announced an impeachment inquiry and essentially saying, hey, you know, just like we had you guys shut up when it came to the Hunter Biden laptop, we want you to shut up about this too. There's no evidence, no evidence whatsoever. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So if there's a real crime here, it's that the impeachment should have happened years ago, and now the obstruction of the impeachment by the regime that deserved to have been impeached for the obstruction they did in order to steal the election. All right. Are we getting closer to the target, David?
Well, what we're dealing with here is these people are desperate. They're fighting for their lives because when they lose, which they will, they're going to be facing trials. And we will, that's what's at stake. And so they have to keep us distracted. They have to keep us preoccupied so that they can continue to buy more time, because ultimately that's what they need more than anything right now is time. Go ahead.
Dad,
well, you know, it was, I think it was Shakespeare that said, all the world's a stage and we are just merely players, right? So, you know, in one respect, you were absolutely right, David. All of these things are designed to, be a sleight of hand from what is really going on. And I would agree with you as far as that goes. I would probably disagree with you with the fact that they're going to actually be caught red-handed in their crimes, because I think the larger distraction is not about politics at all, Mark. And I think in this regard, David is right. I think the larger distraction is what is occurring on the global stage, the global economy, because the world's economy across the board, and you're talking to a guy that actually used to be in that realm, it is about to implode. And we have JP Morgan coming out yesterday, and their CEO said, hey, you know, we are heading into the darkest season of banking than we have been in ever. And then you have a report from the Treasury that came out today that actually says that this is what's crazy, right? That the Federal Reserve is losing $758 million a day in interest, right? And the fact that we cannot pay, well, we can barely pay the interest on the notes that we have out of the Treasury. All of it, but it's just not the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is our cartel bank, but there are other central banks across the world that are also having issues. What we are seeing, and you have last week or week before, the BRICS nations, actually the five BRICS nations, but also 120 other nations joined them, to include Saudi Arabia, Oman, the UAE, and other oil producing countries, that by the end of that session, these oil producing countries said that they would be willing to trade in currency other than the U.S. dollar, the world's reserve currency, which was a huge blow to the hegemony that is running the world, to David's point. So what we, and that's like eight nations that agreed to this, were like 80% of the world's oil producing nations. So what we are seeing is a shift in the world order, whether we like to call it that or not. It is, in fact, a new world order, an evil new world order. But I think, to David's point, everything that you were saying is a distraction from the implosion that is about to take place. But here's the thing. It's just not an implosion. This is not just about a war. This is not just about finances. This is not just about, civil rights. This is about lives. And at the end of the day, what is about to happen are lots of people are going to die. That's the bottom line.
And that's the intent.
I'm not a Pollyanna type that thinks that things are going to turn around. I don't think so. If you read the word, you see exactly what's coming.
I couldn't agree more, and I think you're right. That's the point. You know, the old saying, follow the money, still applies. When I look at scripture and I see all the things that are said to be abominations, and we're getting all of them. I mean, literally anything that the Bible uses the word toiba in Hebrew, abomination, to describe, whether it's a man lying with a man as with a woman, or a cross dressing, and I guess that applies to cutting the genitalia off little boys and little girls, to the dishonest weights and measures that are with the reserve currency of the world. All of it is coming to a head. And we're coming to the break, so we'll pick it up right after this. right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday show. We got a special treat again today, and that is that David Justice is here with us as usual, and we also have Daniel Holdings, and we're talking about so many things that are coming to a head. In particular, once we clear away all the smoke and the things that people are supposed to be distracted by, some of the really big issues. I will contend that there are several, but one of them has to do with fall of the money, and it isn't even money anymore, and we're seeing all of that come to a head. I mentioned a couple of things, if you will, some inside baseball, more technical issues having to do with the Treasury and the things that are coming apart. I can't help but think that isn't interesting while the House is saying, oh, we have to pay big attention to the debt ceiling and all of those political issues, this impeachment is therefore a distraction from the distraction. Isn't that clever? But we also had a couple of other things. I'll just throw these articles out, then I'll go to David first, but the G20 this week met, and they announced, this is a real shocker, they're going to impose digital currencies, digital IDs, and some of us would call it the mark of the beast worldwide, Akhtung. You will not be able to say no. The Indian finance minister said discussions are underway to build a global framework, not only to put the mark of the beast in place, but to regulate crypto assets, and if necessary, although they're not planning on it yet, do worse than that. At the same meeting, the Rothschild spokeslayer, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, the public face, as at least some folks are saying, of the Rothschild dynasty, has said that they're going to shift from stakeholder capitalism, which is basically communism or fascism, to a new thing they're calling inclusive capitalism. And it seems, says Brandon Smith, that the reason is because, well, you caught us out with the ESG and stuff, and people are saying no and not complying. So we need a new name, at least, even though it's the same old agenda. And then there's this. The IRS has announced their new sweeping, thank you, Biden Fuhrer and the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a big part of the lie. They're going to use AI now to crack down on the peons and enforce, what, the coming mark of the beast. It all fits together. Go ahead, Daniel. We'll go to David.
Well, the fascinating thing here is watching it unfold. You know, we've got a privatized system that is coming into its fruition. It desires to be God. It desires to dominate the planet as God. And it's inside of a narrative. And it's, how do we know it's not true? It's because it's a narrative. Truth is the only non-narrative out there. If we go back to the garden, you know, there was a choice to be made between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or not. And of course, we all have the propensity to eat off the forbidden tree and buy into the narrative that is the delusional reality that has grown up around us because of our refusal to love the truth. And so what we're watching, and this is so fascinating that we get to be alive to watch it. We get to watch it come into its maturity and challenge the truth itself as though it's God. It's done it all along, but this is a fascinating time where it gets to use the entire global stage to demonstrate its power. It's a fascinating time, but we can't take our eyes off the ball. It's just a narrative, and it's just propaganda, and ultimately it's a house of cards. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, we got lots of other things to toss out there. Let me turn it back over to Daniel for just a second, because I think we also saw this week, now, these aren't so much smoke screens as they are just other indicators, other signs along the highway, road markers that indicate how close we're coming. And I mentioned a couple of them. One has to do with Liberty Safe, and this fits kind of a transition with the economics. A lot of folks saw this. Liberty Safe scandal, it says, America's number one heavy home safe, heavy-duty home and gun safe, has manufacturers come under fire because they basically, the FBI came and said, we have a warrant. Well, Liberty didn't say, is it for us? It doesn't apply to us. They didn't say, let's see it. They just said, hey, you want the back door? Oh, yeah. We got all these electronic locks, and the customers may or may not know it, but we can get in whether they like it or not. So they gave the FBI the back door key, and they went in and stole this fellow's guns. But the real issue is Liberty doing that? Are they pulling a Bud Light here? Then the story came out that they had been purchased. This is from Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. The FEC showed that Liberty Safe's parent company is Monomoy Capital Partners, and they are big major donors to what else? The socialist gun banners. Who could have thought it? So one of the things that's happening here with this stakeholder capitalism and this backdoor, we can print money and we can take over companies, we see it with Gulag, which is buying things. They've been doing it. That's their business model. We see it with Two Facebook. You got a competitor, they buy them up. We see it with Microsoft. They own Skype that we're using right now to communicate. And, you know, you got a safe and you maybe are catering to patriots. We'll buy you up. So a lot of this crony capitalism where essentially if people resist, they get bought out. And, of course, if you can't buy them out, we'll destroy them. We'll come to that in just a second. But go ahead, Daniel.
Well, I mean, I don't even know where to start with that, Mark. It's just, you know, it's one more thing to add on top of the stack of craziness that's going on. And more than anything, it's an indicator, as you said, of where society is right now. When you have when you think about Rome, what happened to Rome and the implosion of Rome, I would imagine, certainly not exactly like what's going on right now, but you probably saw Rome begin to implode the way that we are beginning to implode. You can't, you know, if we're supposed to be a capitalistic society, you just cannot continue in this trend that we have seen for the last couple of years, and it will be this country's own destruction. But, you know, I just want to turn the corner. It's probably something that's not on your list. We talk about distractions. This is kind of a distraction, but it's an interesting distraction, I think. And I think it will be at the very least something that will affect virtually everyone in the world. Just a couple days ago, the Mexican Congress was shown by UFO experts the mummified 1,000-year corpses of alien mummies in the middle of their Congress. This was captured on television. And interestingly enough, those mummies look just like E.T., the movie. but, you know, I have a little bit of experience in this, in that Gen 6 Productions, our production company, actually has funded a couple of archaeological digs in Mexico, and we've uncovered artifacts that show aliens and Aztecs, Toltecs, Mayans, that sort of thing from ancient history. And people scratch their head and say, oh, this thing can't be right. I'm here to tell you they really did uncover that stuff. My point is this, that just last week, a report came out having nothing to do with anything that I'm talking about specifically, but a report came out from a government think tank that said that when alien disclosure happens, it will upend the Bible. It will upend world religions, and people will walk away from Yahuwah like crazy, right? And I dare say that that's probably true. Now, when you understand that they are in fact fallen angels, that these are not, you know, these are not aliens in the sense that, you know, Prometheus is invading our airspace. It is a lie from the pit of hell. So we see all of this stuff occurring on the world stage, Mark. But if we thought for one second that it wasn't going to get even crazier, then we are mistaken, because Hasatan is about to pull out all of the stops, and the craziest stuff that you can imagine is about to come to fruition.
I can't agree more, Daniel. And the only thing I would add to that is, having been watching this myself for a long time, you and I have had discussions on air and also off air privately, and I tend to think that, that is precisely, it's been the long-term plan. You roll this out and you say, oh, look, all of these ancient religions like the Norse and the Greeks and the Roman gods, they were all essentially aliens that came down, and you've got the ancient aliens and Eric von Däniken and all that kind of stuff. And you're right, this thing in Mexico was interesting, and I've seen a number of independent stories saying, hey, the research, the data looks pretty good. This looks real. It's not a fake. You know, of course, Piltdown Man was not a fake for a long time, too. So, you know, time will tell. But ultimately, it certainly fits it fits the biblical narrative, if you read it the way it's written, that there would be this great deception and that even the elect might be deceived if it went on long enough. So if I had to guess, this is kind of where I'm coming down. I think we're going to see a lot of economic, political, physical war kind of things come to pass first. And meanwhile, in the background, they're setting the stage to say, see, we've been telling you about the aliens. Hell, we've had Star Trek going on for years, getting you all prepped for it and E.T. phone home. So that if I had to guess, what I would say is we'll see all of this stuff come to a head. We see the war, and then we see the alien revelation, the reveal, and that's when the great falling away happens. So what it looks to me like we're having happen now with the aliens is the prep for what happens in phase two after all this other stuff hits the fan first. David, let's go to you.
I would say that we've been operating in a great deception for so long that we don't even know that we're living in a great deception.
It just
and I
keeps
always
getting
gotta
bigger.
Refer back to the fact that it's our a father this father sends the great deception. How perfect is a great deception when it's set by the father, you know? For those who refuse to love the truth, we believe a lie. So the deception's a result of us not loving the truth, and so anything goes in the world of deception. As we're learning, Hollywood can perpetrate just about anything. And now that we have the artificial intelligence and the augmented reality, yeah, we can create a really great deception. But ultimately, all of this is sourced from our refusal to love the truth. So as we come into the truth and we desire to love the truth, we can't be deceived. And that's the power of the spirit. And that's the power of the walk that we walk, Mark.
Okay. Daniel, you got anything else you want to add? I want to toss out one or two other things, and I think we can do some connect the dots, because certainly one of the issues I always like to try to conclude with on a Friday morning is, what does this mean? How do we deal with it? And as the deception gets greater, David's right. We got to love the truth. We got to continue to focus on the truth. But it also helps. We're told we're supposed to know the seasons. We're not supposed to be caught unaware, as by the thief in the night. So there are some other indicators that I will suggest we'll talk about here in a second that give us more time of the season info. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I do want to touch on something you all brought up about AI. I've studied AI extensively, particularly I did a teaching earlier in the year for Skywatch TV called Broken Thunder, and something that the father showed me about it and how it relates to the lie that has been propagated. But AI is real. It is the, how can I say this, the inception, and we've not seen AI the way it exists today. AI, with regard to ChatGPT that was developed by OpenAI, was only let loose, and I use those words purposely, let loose on the public in early January, within the first couple weeks of January. And it was let loose into the world, and it is now smarter, being a tech guy. You know, I can tell you that it is smarter now than it ever has been. We have never had a world that is being influenced by this. When we think about AI and we think about closed systems like media generative AI, that kind of thing, we're thinking about closed systems. But what we fail to understand, because we don't understand the technology, is that AI is being propagated against the world, and its knowledge is growing exponentially. Now, I will tell you, crazy enough that AI can in fact become demon possessed, or could this very well be, and I've made this case, that this is the foundation of the bestial system that you see in the book of Revelation. And I believe it is. So what you're seeing, I think my point is this, not necessarily about AI, but what I think you are seeing across the board, throughout the whole world, is this roadmap, this plan for an end time scenario that none of us could have possibly even conceived even 10 years ago. Because what we are seeing are all of these points, and we've outlined some of these today, the craziest part, most extreme parts today. But what you are seeing is this foundation of an end times format that none of us could have ever conceived. And here's the thing. When the Bible was written, all those years ago, how could they describe a world that we live in today? And so what we see is, and many times they talk about issues in generality because there's no words that they can describe, nor were the people of the time understand what the Ruach was trying to say to them. So what we are seeing is the word of God coming alive before our eyes, just as David said. And yes, David, it is fascinating to be alive during this time and see these events unfold. But at the same time, guys, I read the end of the Bible. I know what happens, right? As you have. And there is a lot of pain to go to get there between there and here. And the fact is that we, as David said, have a front row seat for those things.
All right. Well, let me do one more thing, because I think you guys are all right on the money as far as the things we're going to see coming. The AI issue is one of those things. A lot of folks listen and they say, wow, that's beyond my ken. I might not understand the technology, but I've seen the Terminator movies and I know that's really scary and so forth. And if literally AI can take over everything, well, they could, conceivably drop the power grid and destroy the banking system. Well, you know what? That's been part of the plan for a long time anyway. And the elites have certainly engineered the system so that it can be taken down. I would suggest for exactly this reason. And here's the key, guys. If an AI takes it down, or if the Rothschild, deep state combination, Bilderberg, Illuminati, whatever it is, takes it down, most folks aren't going to be able to tell the difference. It's down. So the question is, how about at the local level? Yeah, we want to make sure we understand the times and the seasons, but what are the other things we can do? Well, I've kind of thrown three or four out today. One of them with the Liberty Safe thing. These are the electronic locks that they have the back doors to. We're seeing the licensing issue and the control issue. We saw it with the yellow forms that the ATF uses. Well, one of the things that people can do is don't buy a safe that has an electronic lock with a back door that can be accessed remotely, or at least somebody can be given the combination to. If it's a good old-fashioned mechanical lock, yeah, they can blow it up, but at least you've got one more level of security you don't have now. So that's part one. Here's another one. Now, this is one we haven't talked about yet, but Berkey water filters. They've now sued the EPA. Everybody that's a regular listener here probably knows about Berkey. There are a couple, two or three major gravity-fed water filters that literally everybody ought to have. Berkey is one of the best. Mike Adams has talked about them, done the testing on them. They're phenomenally good filters. So what happened? EPA came after them and said, hey, we got this pesticide regulation that we're going to use against you. Because, no, not because we give a blankety blank about safety or anything of that sort. No, that's a bunch of BS. We simply don't want people to have your water filter because, you know what? If we're going to burn them up like we did in Maui, and if we're going to do all this other evil stuff, one of the ways we control people is make sure they're jonesing for some water. So the very fact that we saw this come out and that they have now essentially eliminated the ability of people to buy Berkeys in the United States, there are probably a few in some warehouses. They're also trying to cut off filters. These are the kind of red flags that people say, wow, I should have bought this a year ago. I didn't. Now what? So now is the time to be asking the question, now what? Go ahead, Daniel.
Let me just backtrack here. I'm going to do something, and I haven't done it yet, but audience, if you give me a little time, this teaching that I did on AI, it's called Broken Thunder. And I think it'll do you well. I think you'll get a lot out of this video. I'm going to put it on my website. I think I can do that. I'm going to put it on my website, for you to look at. You can just click on that and see it. It's about, I don't know, an hour, maybe a little more than that, hour and a half, to see where all this is going. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. So I'll do that, but give me, half a day or so to get up there. But, you know, with
okay.
I have a Berkey. the thing is, Mark, it's not, it is across the board that they do that kind of thing. You know, they've made a law against, wood-burning stoves.
Gee, yep.
You probably need that if there's no gas or electricity. You probably need a wood-burning stove. They're talking about getting rid of gas stoves, by the way. They're talking about banning those as well. They're talking about banning all kinds of stuff. And you know, modus operandi is to paint us into a corner. They keep dripping on us until we are forced into a corner. And the question is, how long will we put up with such things? Well, you know, okay, what are we going to do, Daniel? It's the government. Well, you know, there are things you can do, as you just mentioned, with the safe. You know, you could go out and buy some extra filters for your Berkey before they're all gone. But the point is that this is not going to stop. This is part of their plan. They will paint us into a corner until we have nowhere else to go. And that is just the way it is going, Mark. We can't stop them only because it is part of that overall plan. And we know how all of this turns out.
Well, anyway, and so part of the answer, and I'll I know David's going to go here anyway, but part of the answer, of course, is to study to show yourself approved, be ready, understand scripture, have that love of the truth. But the other part is to say, as best I can, I will do everything I can, knowing that I'll trust in him for the rest, and I will get myself as independent as I can. I'll have gold and silver. By the way, here's one more quick story. Japan panic buys gold as yen implodes, inflation soars. Now, you're not seeing this in the U.S. markets, but in Japan, at least, the yen price of gold has exploded through a critical level, and people are waking up to it. Isn't it funny? You're not hearing about it here. So a lot of these kind of things are the things people can do. And again, we need to trust in Yah, but we certainly need to be able to say, I'm doing everything I can, as well as relying on him. So that's part of the bigger picture. Go ahead. Let's see. David, go ahead and take us out.
I can't help but refer back to the scripture in Romans where Paul talks about the entire creation groaning as in the pains of childbirth for the sons of God to be revealed. You know, I think when we're backed into a corner and we've got no place left to go, we have to go inward. And the kingdom of heaven is within us. And all of the things that Yeshua did, he argued, he demonstrated, and said, you shall do also. And even greater things shall you do. We've lived in a complacent church age where the church has basically dumbed down the people that go to church. They've taken and mistranslated the scripture. They've turned the entire church world into a bunch of mealy-mouthed, weak-kneed, limp-wristed Christians that don't have any solid core understanding of who we are. I'm hoping that the bigger picture, the plan, as we call it, what our Father has in mind, is putting us through some sort of boot camp down here where we actually come into the fullness of who we are. And that's what stops this.
Oh, man, unfortunately, we're at the break. But one of the ways we do that, guys, is by paying attention to his fall feasts, which are coming now, and they're a great way to practice. Thanks again, David. Thanks, Daniel. Great to have you with us. Shalom, folks. All right. Well, hey, thanks. It was great having you on, Dan, and always good to talk with you.
You too. You need to rename your show something, or at least come up with a tagline. A tagline, the fastest hour in radio, or something like that, because that just flew by. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Okay, well, it's always fun, and yeah, there is, you're right. It's particularly true of Lakers. There's been so much going on, but I appreciate it again. And likewise, David, thanks a lot.
Okay, see you next time.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, bye-bye. Blessings and Chag Sameach.